Your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to look at a few verses today, but I'm going to start with just two in Acts, chapter 2. I started last week talking about the God who speaks. The God who speaks. Unlike the heathen gods, the idols of the heathen, you can give them elaborate mouths and lips, but they never speak. You can carve big ears for them, but they don't hear. You can carve hands, they can't help you. They can't hold you if you start to fall. You can carve legs for them, but they can't walk, can't move. You can give them wings, they can't fly. That's because they're nothing. On the other hand, we serve the living God, a God who hears, as our sister testified this morning. The Lord heard. The Lord heard her prayers and heard. The Lord knows, He sees, and He speaks. The Lord speaks. And I shared a little bit on that last week. I would really like to continue along those lines because, you know, the Lord still speaks. He never stops speaking. He speaks to us all the time in many different ways. In Acts 2, he says something about the last days that I would like for us to consider. Acts 2, beginning in verse 17, the Bible says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." Wait, when is this going to come to pass? In the last days, and who says this? Says God. "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they will prophesy." I really want us to consider these two verses. First, he says there's going to be an indiscriminate, in a sense, indiscriminate outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It will be indiscriminate in this sense. God won't discriminate between rich, poor, male, female. He won't discriminate between those who are movers and shakers in the world or those who are simply servants and handmaidens. But it will always be an outpouring upon His servants. So it will be a discrimination in the sense that God's going to give the Holy Spirit to His servants, but it will be indiscriminate among His servants in that it won't matter whether they're rich, poor, famous, nobody knows who they are, educated, uneducated, young, old, black, white, male, female. It won't matter. Amen. Are you God's servant? Amen. That's what matters. Amen. And He says, "I'll pour out my spirit upon them." When is that going to be? In the last days. And notice again, what will they do? He says, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I'll pour out of my spirit upon the handmaidens." These are some of the people that would have been considered in biblical times. Remember, these were people considered, they're just servants, they're nobody. But God said, "I'm going to pour out my spirit on the ones nobody else considers important or significant." Amen. Young and old, sons and daughters, male and female. And notice what they will do. They will prophesy, they will dream, they will see visions. And what do you think would be the purpose of all of that? I mean, is it just to give them chills and thrills? No. God is conveying to them His will, His purpose, His word. He is speaking to them. He is a God who speaks. He is a God who will keep on speaking. He will never speak beyond the word of God. He will never contradict the word of God. Amen. He will never say something that is contrary to the word of God. But He will continue to speak in the last days, and until He returns, He will speak in a number of ways and manners. He will speak to us individually, young and old, male and female, rich or poor, doesn't matter. y'all awake?
Amen.
He will speak, and he will speak in a variety of ways. He will speak to our hearts. He will speak to our minds. He will speak to our conscience.
Amen.
We serve a God who speaks.
Thank you, Lord.
The question is not, does God speak? The question is, do we listen? That's always the question. Do we listen? Are we listening to the Lord? You know, it's so easy in these last days to be so caught up, so busy. Our lives sometimes are a whirlwind of activity. Running, going, all the things on our minds. We've got work, we've got kids, we've got family, we've got obligations, we've got these duties, we've got these responsibilities. We have to be half a dozen places all at once. And it's hard for us sometimes to get still.
Yes.
And actually hear the Lord when he speaks to us.
You're right.
But you know he will.
Amen.
If we'll get still and listen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know why I like to read the old time theologians? It's because they lived in a day when the pace was slower.
Yep.
And they would walk you know, like Vance Havner, people like that, Tozer. These are people who would take time to listen to God. And when they take time to listen to God, then they have something to say that's worth listening to. Because you know they heard from God. Nowadays, we hear a lot of stuff that, even though it may come from well-intentioned people, they're hearing voices, I guess. But they're not really hearing a message from the Lord.
Yeah,
I like the fact that the old-timers took the time to pray and to listen. And when they listened, God spoke to them, and they would bring a message from the heart of God.
Yeah.
You pick up A.W. Tozer. Tell me you don't get convicted.
Oh, yeah.
You pick up anything that David Wilkerson said. Tell me you don't get convicted. Pick up something that Vance Havner said, or so many others that you know these were men who took time to listen and to pray, and God spoke to their hearts, and they were able to convey these messages. They still burn in our hearts when you read them. I read stuff that these guys wrote 50 years ago, and it's like they could have wrote it today. Like they must have read today's paper or something, and the Lord will speak.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, last week we emphasized Hebrews chapter 1, that how in the old time God spoke in time past by the prophets. But he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus Christ not only brought the message, Jesus Christ is the message.
Amen.
He was the messenger and he was the message. And he's always going to be the message. There's not going to be another message. There's not going to be an additional message.
Amen.
The message is Jesus Christ. What the world needs? Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. There is not going to be any other way or any other truth or any other source of eternal life.
Amen.
Not going to happen.
You're right.
He said, he's the door. Not going to be any other door. He said there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's not going to be any other name. There's not going to be a name, I don't care if it's Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Sun, Myung, Moon. There's not going to be any other name.
You're right.
No other way, no other name, except through Jesus Christ. This is something for us to always keep in mind. God is always going to speak to us through the Word, through His... In fact, this Bible, this is the number one way God speaks to us today. He speaks through His Word. That's why we have to hide it in our heart, like the psalmist said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Let's do that. Let's open up this book. Let's draw breath. Don't you get a breath of fresh air every time you open up the Bible? Just sit down with the Bible and open it up and breathe. Just breathe in life as the Lord speaks to our hearts. He still speaks through His Word. He still speaks through His written Word. Jesus was called the Word. We know the Word became flesh, and He said, John 17:17, Father, thy word is truth. So we should get in the truth, get in the Word, read the Word, meditate on the Word, absorb the Word. This is the primary way He speaks to us today. He speaks through the Word. But I want us to also be aware that God still speaks. He still speaks through the Word. You know, there's a passage I was just reading there again this week in Luke chapter 24, where the disciples had been much discouraged because Jesus had been crucified. I'll tell you what, I'm going to turn over there real quick. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, you can turn there with me if you like, or you can just listen. But I was just looking at these verses this week. Luke 24, verse 1 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices that they had prepared. Certain others were with them. The Lord had been crucified. He died on that cross. They buried him. And so his disciples came to anoint the body with spices. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when you were in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men, be crucified, the third day rise again. And they remembered that. And they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things to the 11 apostles, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them. They told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter. He ran to the sepulcher. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Here's the stuff we wrapped him in, but he's not here. But this was the passage that really stood out in me. Two of them, verse 13, they went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7 miles. They walked together, and they talked together of all the things that had happened. And as they walked and talked and reasoned, notice verse 15, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't know it was the Lord. They didn't recognize him. He said to them, what are you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? They said, don't you know? One of them, whose name was Cleophas, so we know the name of one of them, he said, are you a stranger around here? You don't know what's been going on these last few days? He said, what things? He said the things about Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. They've crucified him. Verse 21, we thought he would be the one that would redeem Israel and deliver Israel, but today's the third day since these things were done. And certain women also of our company astonished us. They ran early to the tomb. They found his body gone. And they said they saw a vision of angels that said he was still alive. Excuse me. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found just as the women said, he wasn't there. And then Jesus spoke. And this is what he said. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That should jump out at us when he said you ought to have believed everything the Bible said. You should have believed it all. And for not believing it, look at what he calls them. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And notice verse 27. And beginning at Moses. Now, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. They're attributed to him. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is what the Lord did. Beginning at the beginning. And then he went through all the prophets. Now, this is the rest of the Bible, the rest of the Old Testament. Sometimes the Bible is called the law. Sometimes it's called the law and the prophets, because sometimes the law just represented the first five books of, they're called the books of the law. But when they start talking about the law and the prophets, they're pretty much, that's a synonym for the entire Old Testament. He said, beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. How about that? That was a 7-mile walk filled with revelation when the Lord spoke from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Guess who it speaks of? It spoke of Christ. Every bit. He preached himself from the entire body of Old Testament literature. And he said, you know what? You should have believed it. You should have believed every bit of it. It's a tremendous passage here. And, you know, you can take the time and read the rest of it. I would encourage you to do so. The Lord would later appear to the rest of them and manifest himself to them all the way down in verse 44. He says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. All of it has to be fulfilled. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Do you know, maybe we need some further opening of our understanding as well. It's never wrong to pray, Lord, open my understanding. Give me a greater capacity to grasp, to understand, and to properly apply what I read to my life. He opened their understanding. Lord Jesus, open mine. But you know the message here is that God expected them, the Lord expected them, to hear his voice through the scriptures. They should have believed it. They should have accepted it. That is the primary way God speaks. But as we read in Acts chapter 2, he also speaks in other ways. He says he's going to speak sons and daughters. They'll prophesy. The old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. God said he would speak through prophetic utterances in the last days. He would speak through dreams and visions. And there are many different ways God speaks. Many different ways God speaks. Are we listening is the question. He will never, again, contradict Scripture. But can I talk about a couple of things, a couple of ways that God speaks today? You know, we know he can speak to us and encourage us through prophetic utterances. According to the scripture, prophecy comes for three reasons: to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. 1 Corinthians 14 says that's why prophecy comes: edify, exhort, comfort. It does those three things. It's always going to draw you to the Lord, to be comforted, to be exhorted, to be edified. Never, it's not to rebuke us. It's not to correct us. That's really not what prophecy is for. I won't say there can never be an exception, but as a general rule, edify, exhort, comfort. That's what the Bible says it's for. And if you have a dream, you know, the Bible, in the Bible, a lot of folks dreamed, had profound dreams, and God spoke to them through their dreams. You know, the Lord, he can still do that. Jacob was a dreamer. I'm talking about had divinely anointed, appointed dreams. Joseph was called Joseph the Dreamer. God spoke to him often through dreams. But even others, Solomon had a dream in which the Lord spoke to him. The Bible says the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. The Lord appeared to him in a dream by night and said, ask what I shall do for you. Daniel had dreams. But, you know, wasn't just Old Testament figures. The Lord's earthly father, Joseph, had dreams, and God spoke to him in dreams. Matthew 1, verse 19, 20, 21. Joseph was a just man. He found out his espoused wife is with child. He knew it wasn't his. So he said, I'm going to divorce her quietly and privately because I don't want to bring any ruin to her reputation. He loved her. And then the Bible says an angel appeared to him in a dream. In a dream. Angel came, appeared to him. And the dream said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. Because the child that is in her womb was born of the Holy Spirit. So, not only this, this is what the angel said. She shall bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. For he will deliver his people from their sins.
Thank you, Lord.
He got that revelation in a dream.
Amen.
How about that? Pretty profound, don't you think?
You're right.
The wise men that came to see the Christ child and first checked in with Herod. Herod said, make sure you come back and tell me where you found him. But after they found him, the Bible says they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. And then Joseph had another dream. And in this dream, he was warned to flee because Herod was coming after their child to kill him. God can send warnings in a dream. He can give counsel, advice, direction in a dream. That can happen. There's a passage in Matthew 27 that said Pilate's wife had a dream. Remember when the Lord was drugged before Pilate?
Yeah.
And his wife had a dream, and she said, she told her husband, I don't think you should have anything to do with this man, this just man, for I have suffered many things about him in a dream. Pilate should have listened, because you know they're still suffering many things because they didn't. So Old Testament, New Testament, God can speak through dreams. I would remind you that a dream's not going to contradict the Bible. So if somebody has a dream, oh, I dreamed I married this man who was some unsaved person. That wasn't from the Lord.
You're right.
You don't marry unsaved people. Okay, if you do have a dream.
That's right.
Yeah. And here's something else I think we should know. If God gives you a dream, you're going to know what it meant. I challenge you to read the New Testament. Find any place where some believer dreamed, where a believer dreamed and didn't know what it meant. If a believer dreams, they know what it means. If it's an unbeliever, now that's a different story. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had his dream. He didn't know what it meant. Pharaoh had his dream, called for Joseph. The baker in prison, the butler, they had dreams. They didn't know what they meant, but they were all unbelievers. You go to the New Testament, those who dreamed, God's people, when they dreamed, they knew what it meant. And if they didn't know immediately, it was soon revealed. What it was. Very soon revealed to them what it was. You don't have to go ask somebody, what did this dream mean?
Amen.
You ask the Lord what it means. And, you know, God can do many things. Now look, sometimes the Lord can send a dream to a heathen. And we read many times they had dreams that they came as warnings. The butler, the baker. Pharaoh, he had a dream of 7 years of coming famine. They didn't know what it meant. All he saw was old shriveled up ear corn eating up the fat corn, or a little shriveled up cow eating up the fat cows. He didn't know what it meant. But Joseph interpreted it. But Job, there's an interesting passage in Job. Job 33:15 says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. Or as Other versions translate it, he terrifies them with dreams. You know, God can send the heathen a dream. I'll tell you what, I remember praying that God would give me a dream or a vision of hell. Really and truly. I really pray that. You have a really profound vision or dream of hell? I'd say that's a big incentive to living right. Torment, I don't think it's wrong for us to pray, Lord, send someone you're praying for, like a loved one, a backslider, whatever, send them a dream. You can pray it. You can pray it. Lord, send them a dream. He says here, you terrify them at night, let them have a dream of hell. Let him have a dream of eternity. Job 33:17 says that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. The idea is you have a terrifying dream of hell or eternity. Yep. You ever heard of the old expression, scare the hell out of somebody?
Right. Yeah.
That's what we want to happen.
That's right.
We want it to happen to us too. It could be a lot of junk that could come out, right? God spoke to the heathen in dreams. He spoke to Abimelech. Remember Abimelech all the way back, Genesis 20? You know, Abraham, he had a good-looking wife. And when he went to some of these heathen places, some of these heathen kings, they looked at his wife and they wanted her. And he was afraid they'd kill him to get his wife. He said, she's my sister. So Abimelech, he gets his eyes on Sarah, and he gets a hold of her, and they bring her into his harem. And that very night, Abimelech had a dream. And in the dream, this is what God said to Abimelech. You are a dead man because you took another man's wife. Now, he didn't take her and have relations with her, but he took her. He had plans. He sure had plans, but this is what God said. Thou art a dead man because you took another man's wife. Well, guess what? The next day, he went looking for Abraham. He said, why did you tell me she's your sister? God came to him in a dream. You took another man's wife, you're dead. When God tells you that, that's one of those scary dreams, right? But I tell you what, that's something to think about as well. You take another man's wife, that's a serious thing. You know.
Amen.
Or another woman's husband.
Right. But
the heathen had dreams. We saw it. Pharaoh's cupbearer, Pharaoh's baker. The Midianites had dreams about, I had a dream. I saw a loaf of barley bread rolling down a hill. It smote the tent of the Midianites. We just studied about that in the life of Gideon. So God can send dreams. He can speak to us through dreams. I believe if a believer has a dream, God's going to tell you what it means or show you what it means. It's not going to be some crazy convoluted thing where you need a book of dream interpretation. That's occult. You got a book of dream interpretation, throw it away. It's occult. It should not be in your house. God's the interpreter of the dreams he gives. If you have any other kind of dream, it's either the devil attacking you at night. Nightmare means night demon. That's what it literally means. And sometimes the devil will attack us at night to try and torment us or whatever. You rebuke that. You keep your mind under the blood. Make sure you've got nothing in your house that invites the devil in. Or it's just, you know, like my wife says, a pizza dream. You know, you eat too late, you have strange dreams sometimes. So. Ecclesiastes 5:3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness. That's, or as one version translates it, you dream when you have a whirlwind of activity. You know, there's a lot of folks, lots going on in their life, their mind, they can't put your mind to sleep. They try and rest and they have strange, bizarre dreams. It doesn't mean it's from God.
Amen.
But God can speak to us through our dreams. And He speaks through visions. God can give visions. Many, many times in the Bible, God gave some profound visions. In Acts chapter 10, there's a passage over here that I'd like for you to turn to with me. Y'all hanging with me, right? All right, hang a little bit. Acts 10, there was a man, verse 1, in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. A centurion in this Italian regiment. He was an officer in the Italian army. He was a devout man, verse 2, and one that feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people. He prayed to God always. This is a guy who didn't really have the full revelation of who God was, but he knew enough to know there's a God. There's a God, and I fear him, and I'm going to give. He gave and helped people. He prayed all the time. Notice verse 3. He saw in a vision. Evidently, the King James says, it means clearly, plainly, openly. About the ninth hour of the day. This is 3 in the afternoon in their time. He saw in a vision in broad daylight an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Pretty vivid vision, don't you think? When he looked on him, he was afraid. He said, "What is it, Lord?" He said, "Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God." And then in the vision, specific instruction, very specific. "Send then to Joppa. Call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." He's living right now with somebody named Simon, who is a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He will tell you what you ought to do. How specific is that? And then when the angel departed, Cornelius did exactly what that angel said. He sent two of his servants. When they declared, he sent them to Joppa. So, pretty profound. Very specific. The morning, they went on their journey. While they were on their way, notice what was happening in the meantime. Verse 9, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour is around noon. So Peter, on a rooftop, middle of the day, hungry, it's lunchtime. He would have eaten, but while they made ready, they're preparing the food down in the house. He's up on the roof and he's praying in the middle of the day. How about that? You know, sometimes when you get away and you just pray, you hear from God. Amen. He saw, while they made ready, notice this, he fell into a trance. That's where we get our Greek word ecstasy. He fell into a trance. The word means to be out. It means out of himself. The idea is that you're there, you're awake, but you're somewhere else. You're awake, but you're somewhere else. One of the old time theologians described the trance or the ecstasy as like being awake while you're having a profound dream. You're there, but you're not there. You're seeing things that are somewhere else. He fell into a trance. Notice what he saw. Verse 11, heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." They were raised Jews. They had specific things they would not eat. You know, there was very specific delineation between clean and unclean meat. So there were certain foods you don't eat. He said, I've never departed from that. I'll eat only what's clean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time and said, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Three times he saw this. And you know, when he first saw it, he didn't fully comprehend. Verse 17 says, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. I'm not grabbing what this vision really meant. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius, they were knocking at the door. And they called asking for Simon, surnamed Peter. And while Peter was thinking on the vision, the Spirit spoke to him and said, three men seek thee, arise, get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, I've sent them. The Spirit said to him, you know, the Holy Spirit still speaks, right? The Holy Spirit still speaks. God still speaks. If we would only listen. Peter went down and he said, I'm the one you seek. Why have you come? They told him why. Cornelius, he sent us to come. He had a message from God. And that message said to send for you in this house and that you're going to have words to say to us. So he lodged them, and the next day, Peter went on the way with them, and you know, it wasn't long after Peter got to Cornelius' house that he found out what that vision was all about. Nobody had to interpret it for him. Peter got to Cornelius' house, verse 25, Cornelius met him, he fell down at his feet, he worshiped. Peter got him up saying, stand up, I'm just a man. As he talked to him, he went in and found many that were come together. Man, Cornelius had his whole family there. He called people his kinsmen from far and wide. He said to them, you know how it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation. Now remember, Cornelius is an Italian. So this Jew just went into an Italian house. At least he knew he was going to get good food there. That's one thing. You go to an Italian house, you're going to eat well. This is what he says. He says, I'm a Jew. It's not lawful for me to keep company or come into one of another nation. The Jews don't go eat with Gentiles. But he understood what the vision meant. God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. No one nation is preferred above another. All nations are the same in the eyes of God. Every nation, every nationality, every ethnicity. Therefore, I came unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent. And Cornelius told him the story about what happened, how the Lord appeared to him, or an angel appeared to him, and called for Simon. So Simon says, verse 34, of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of nations, but in every nation, he that fears him and does righteousness is accepted. And so, verse 36, he preached Jesus to him. He says all the way down in verse 43, whoever believes in him should receive remission of sins. It's through Christ and Christ alone, right? Amen. And while Peter spoke these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard. And those of the circumcision that believed were astonished. That is, the Jews, the believing Jews, were astonished. All those who had come with Peter, because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did he know they received the Holy Ghost? They heard him speak with tongues. They heard him magnify God. Peter said, let's not forbid water to these men and women. Let them be baptized. They've received the Holy Spirit just like we have. And so he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. God communicated through vision. Rather profoundly as well. Rather profoundly. But then, you know, Acts 2, he said, verse 17 and 18, you'll see visions. You'll dream dreams. There'll be prophecy. Right?
Amen.
Many, many, many times in the New Testament, there were visions from the Lord, profound visions that were used to prepare people for what was ahead, warn people, give direction, guidance, comfort, exhortation.
Amen.
What's to say God has stopped doing that? Who says he stopped doing that? He said in the last days it's going to happen.
Right.
I would think these are the last days.
Amen.
Acts chapter 7, they were stoning Stephen to death. The Bible says he had a profound vision. He saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw the heavens opened. He saw the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. All through the Bible. Ananias had a vision. A disciple named Ananias, Acts chapter 9, he had a vision that he was supposed to go lay hands on Paul and pray for him because he was blind. Because Paul had a vision. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus. A bright light shined overhead, knocked him down, and said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus that you persecute." And then the Lord spoke to him. He was struck blind. For 3 days, the Bible says he was blind. Acts chapter 9. But the Lord told him, "I'm going to send somebody named Ananias to come pray for you. You're going to be healed and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
Ananias, just a regular, ordinary disciple as far as we know. No prophet, no apostle. But God sent him a vision. Go pray for Paul. And he said, "Man, I heard a lot about that guy. I got to make sure this vision is from the Lord." Because he's been persecuting the churches. He's been hauling off Christians to jail. The Lord said, "He's a chosen vessel unto me. I'm going to show him the great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went, and he called him Brother Saul. Acts chapter 9, profound chapter. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me to come pray for you." And he did. Scales fell off of Saul's eyes. He saw. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And everything changed. In fact, the world changed because this man saw a vision. And you know, because he obeyed the vision that he saw, powerful and profound things happened. I read about some of the visions they had in New Testament times. Paul saw in a vision one night a man from Macedonia. Paul was praying about direction, and he saw in a vision a man from Macedonia saying, "Come help us." There was his direction from the Lord. God gave him direction, where to go, what to do. Other passages, Acts chapter 18, Paul was in Corinth, uncertain of what he should do there. And the Bible says the Lord spoke to him at night in a vision, and this is what the Lord said. "Don't be afraid. Speak. Don't hold your peace. I have many people in this city." Because Paul was concerned. Should I stay here? People are on his trail. God said, "I've got many people here. Don't be afraid. Nobody's going to hurt you." That's exactly what God told him. Nobody's going to hurt you while you're here. Acts 18:10. He saw that in a vision. He wound up preaching there for a year and a half. In that place. Acts 22, another time, he was in Jerusalem. The Bible says he prayed, he was in the temple, and the Lord spoke to him. In fact, he was in ecstasy, in a trance, one of those where you're there but you're not there. And the Lord said, "Get up and get out of Jerusalem right now. They got people coming to hurt you. Don't delay, get up, get out. They're not going to receive you here." Look, the Lord can speak to us in many ways. I don't know that it's proper or improper to pray for a vision. I know God can send them if he wants to. I think you might be a little concerned about asking for a vision because you don't want to get something. Here's what I'm convinced of. I ask for direction. And let God direct me however He chooses. He can send the direction. If He wants to send you a vision, if He wants to send you a dream, so be it. But I'm never comfortable telling the Lord what to do. Except to just take a promise. He says, I'll direct your steps. I'll guide your path. So I ask for that. But just remember, any dream, any vision, it's never going to contradict the Bible. And if you don't know what it means, God will tell you what it means. He'll tell you. Don't go looking for dream interpretation, vision interpretation. That's not the Lord. Don't try and find something there that's not there. I saw this big purple giant thing in the sky. You listen to the Purple People Eater song. That's why you're thinking that. God can speak to us in many ways. That's my point. He can speak through other people. I would like to think that the Lord could speak through me. Sometimes maybe use something that I said to encourage somebody, to comfort somebody, to exhort somebody, maybe to warn somebody. But you know, the Lord will speak through you. You can be a vessel. You can be used of God. And sometimes that word will come from you, just a word that will confirm something in their heart that they were thinking all along. God will use people. You read the scriptures. He used people all the time. He used people. He can use children.
Amen.
He can speak through our circumstances.
Yes.
Doors open, doors close. That's many times the Lord just speaking through our circumstances. I would add a word of caution here that, you know, sometimes you don't want to let your circumstances dictate to you, choices and decisions. But you pray for open door. You're looking for a particular job. Door opens. Hey, it could be the Lord.
Amen.
But you should always be sure.
Right.
You know, you can step in a direction carefully. Sometimes doors open that God doesn't intend for us to go through. It might not be the Lord opening that door. Some things can be a trap. But God can speak to us in many ways. He can speak to us in our prayers. Oftentimes, we saw that some of these verses we just read. Paul's praying in the temple. God gives him a message, Acts 22. Get out of Jerusalem. Go now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Go. He was praying. Peter, praying on a rooftop, goes into this trance, this ecstasy. God spoke to him. In prayer, God speaks. Because, you know, it's in prayer we get still, we get quiet, and we can actually hear God speak. It's not that He's not speaking. It's often the problem. We're not listening. So, Job 33:14, God speaks once, yea, twice, but man perceives it not. We're often not listening. And God can speak to us in the still, small voice.
Amen.
He can speak in the earthquake and in the whirlwind. He can.
Yep.
But the still, small voice, that inner voice, that inner knowing, that inner prodding of the Holy Spirit, He prompts us, He convicts us, He speaks to us in all kinds of ways. If we would listen. Here's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Now, we know that He speaks through the Word. Are you listening to the Word? Are you heeding it? Walking in what we know? He not only said, my sheep hear my voice, but He also said, and they follow me.
Amen.
So we ask ourselves again this morning, are we following? The Lord's speaking. He never stops speaking. One of the things, it's one of the reasons I personally make it a point to come Monday nights and pray. Because there's something about being with the church, praying in the congregation. There's something about our united prayers that I find that the Lord speaks to me at these times. I really do. I can't tell you how many messages I've received from the Lord to preach on Sunday or on Wednesday that I actually got right here in prayer on Monday nights. It's something about being around the saints, something unique, something powerful, just praying for God's wisdom, direction. I find He speaks to me in those times of my own personal quiet, and yet at the same time praying with others. But important thing is, God is speaking. He speaks to us. He speaks to you. Let's listen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hebrews 12, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 says we need to take heed to the one who speaks now. You know, speak being Jesus. We don't want to ignore the one who speaks from heaven. Father, we pray today that you would cause us one and all to be more sensitive to your voice. Lord, we know and we repent for allowing our lives to be so busy that sometimes we neglect things that are vital. We neglect quietness alone with you. We often neglect our own personal prayer time. We neglect sometimes even getting into your word. Lord, forgive us for our own negligence, we pray. Lord, help us to long for a greater revelation, a greater knowledge of you, of yourself, of your word. Lord, you opened the understanding of your disciples. Open ours, I pray. And Lord, you communicated powerfully, wonderfully, to your disciples. Communicate, we pray, to us, Lord. Let not your word fall on deaf ears. Don't give up on us, Lord. Speak to us, we pray. Take away the dullness from our hearing. Help us to be still and to know and to hear. We ask, Lord, we ask that you renew our love, our passion for you, for your word. Ignite afresh in us a fire, Lord Jesus, a hunger, a thirst for your word, for righteousness. Lord, as we close out another year, we pray, Lord, that we go out on a good note, Lord, a note of fervor and prayer and worship and love towards you, Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.